and welcome to the first episode of our Respect Me, Listen Up podcast. Today we are going to be interviewing Lorraine Glass, who is the director of the Respect Me service. We're going to have joining us today Rudy and Vivian, who are both members of the Respect Me Youth Action Group, and they are joining us in the second year of our Listen Up, Respect Our Rights, Bullying is Never Acceptable campaign. Welcome everyone.
Thank you.
Rudy and Vivian, I know that you've got some questions today for Lorraine. And Lorraine, we're really looking forward to hearing from you and hearing about all of your experience. Rudy, would you like to kick us off with the first question?
Thank you for joining us today, Lorraine. You're the director of Respect Me. Could you tell us what made you want to work for Respect Me?
Thanks, Rudy. That's a great question. And I've been working with Respect Me now for 15 years. So I'm not sure I actually can remember that far back as to what made me want to work at the first time. However, I'm joking. I do. I think the work that Respect Me does is vitally important. No child should ever be bullied. Bullying is never acceptable. And that cause, having those values, made me want to work for Respect Me. I'm a lifelong advocate of fairness and equality. And being in this role helps me to try to make sure that the children and young people can not be bullied when they're at school or wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on our current campaign, Listen Up, Respect Our Rights?
I love the current campaign. I love the fact it's a two-year campaign. I think it's got depth, it's got substance, it's got so much to say. And for the first, you know, campaign that was properly co-designed and co-developed with children and young people, it's just fantastic. It is bold, it's brave, and it's clever. And I think really insightful and based on real life experiences of adults not always listening as well as they can and not always acting as well as they should to support children and young people if they're being bullied.
Mm-hmm. What is the connection between bullying and mental health, and what would you say can be the last impacts of bullying on mental health?
Bullying can affect mental health quite significantly. It can affect emotional well-being as well, and it can really be like an assault on someone's identity. So taking all of these things together, the mental health impacts can be serious. It can result in things like anxiety or depression, panic attacks, eating disorders, and maybe feeling that, you know, you might want to self-harm because it feels so painful. So these are all really serious impacts, and you know, some of them can last into adulthood, but not always. Mostly children and young people are supported and get some help. And when the, you know, help for the bullying to stop itself, and the bullying stops, often that can be a real change for poor mental health. Things start to improve, people feel better, they feel much more like themselves again. They've got their friendships back and they feel more confident and they're able to do well at school.
Yeah. In your professional, honest opinion, what are the best ways for a young person to deal with bullying?
Honestly, I think first and foremost, always tell an adult. Find a trusted adult. Doesn't matter who it is, as long as you know that they will do the best they can for you. So it might be a teacher, it might be an auntie, a cousin, an uncle, a sports coach. Whoever your trusted adult is, I think it's really good if you're able to tell them what's going on in your life, how they can help you, how they can give you some support. And have that reported in to wherever you are. So if you're in school or if you're in a club, make sure that what's happening to you is properly reported. Mm-hmm. I think those are the first things about trying to deal with bullying if it's going on. And there are lots of other things that young people can do as well. I think young people are really smart and they know that the bullying is not going to stop mm-hmm. overnight. It's probably been going on for quite a wee while. It's quite complicated. So there are things that can make young people feel better and cope whilst they're being bullied, and other things that can help to get the bullying to stop.
What advice would you give to adults who want to help or support a young person who is being bullied?
Well, I think they should listen up. You would expect me to say that, wouldn't you? Absolutely. I think more seriously though, I think adults have got a key role in supporting young people. Lots of times young people want to sort out the bullying by themselves. That's a preferred route. They want to just not really involve adults. They worry that adults might make things worse or not do anything at all. So it's a big decision for a young person to tell an adult if they're being bullied. But I think for that adult, it's almost like a gift. You know, the young person is trusting you, they're telling you their story, mm-hmm. and they expect you to do something about it. So there is a responsibility, there's a weight of responsibility, and I don't know any adults who want to see young people being hurt or harmed or having a really miserable time. So the majority of adults will step up, listen up, and respect your rights. Boom, boom.
I just wanted to say that, I agree. I always think it's such an honour for an adult to be confided in by a young person.
Yeah. Sometimes it goes too far, and when you've not told an adult, it goes too far, and that's like a breaking point where the adult like finds out in a worse way than you just telling them. Like if you've been in like an altercation, they may get email from the school or mm-hmm. from someone's parents saying, your okay. child has done this, mm-hmm. please like mm-hmm. talk to them.
Yeah.
Like instead of you just telling them it the first time.
Do you think, Rudy, it's better to speak to an adult earlier rather than later?
If it first starts, like if you're in school and someone's like bothering you, just tell a teacher. Mm-hmm. There's no shame in telling a teacher, because what goes through some people's minds is if they tell a teacher, the teachers or like the parents going to overreact and do something mm-hmm. that will make them embarrassed, but mm-hmm. that's not the truth at all.
Yeah, good.
And I would absolutely agree. I think the sooner the better. Mm-hmm. Bullying thrives in the darkness, it thrives in secrecy, and when it's brought out into the open with a big light shone on it, mm-hmm. it can get worse, it can fester, it can go on for longer and become much more difficult to get it to stop. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Sooner the better, get an adult told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vivian, you've got the next question.
Yeah. Where should a young person look for more help and advice about bullying?
There are lots and lots of sources of advice about bullying. Respect Me's website has great advice. It's got great resources. It's got videos. It's got booklets, information sheets, things like that. But as well as that, there are lots of other online resources. So charities, people like NSPCC, Childline, I Am Me Scotland have got a great set of resources for children who are being bullied. So these are all places that young people can look for help and advice. And they can also speak at home or to whatever adult it is that they've chosen to help them to get more information about just what's going on for them. And it might help them to actually explain to teachers and to show them this is what's happening to me. And obviously, online is a great place to go, and it can also be a bit of a scary place to go. So just need to be, just be mindful of when you're looking out for information about bullying and about keeping yourself safe, that it comes from a really trusted source, an official source.
Can you explain the meaning of protected characteristics and how they relate to bullying?
Yes, protected characteristics are the set of characteristics included within the Equality Act of 2010. So it sets out 9 protected characteristics, which are really just things about that people might have. So it's things about age or race, religion, sexual orientation, disability, pregnancy and maternity, and also marriage and civil partnership is in there too, as well as gender reassignment. So there's a whole range of characteristics, and the law is designed to protect anyone who has those characteristics from any form of discrimination or prejudice or abuse, and bullying comes into that category. So what it means in terms of bullying, if people are being bullied, and that bullying is being almost kind of motivated by prejudice or hatred, then the Equality Act sets out to protect everyone in that space. And also in Scotland, the guidance we have in Scotland goes further than the legally protected characteristics, because young people told us that oftentimes they're bullied for other reasons that aren't protected by the law. So they're bullied because of body image or appearance, or because they are care experienced, or because they're young carers even, or it can be socioeconomic bullying, so like they don't have phones and trainers and clothes and stuff that other children might have, and there can be a bit of an imbalance there and it can cause bullying. So in Scotland we look absolutely at the protected characteristics, but also at other forms of prejudice outside of that.
How do you think organisations can best prevent bullying from happening?
I think that's another real... These questions are amazing, and you've obviously been so thoughtful in putting them together. I just wish I'd seen some of them in advance. But in terms of prevention, there are lots and lots of prevention strategies that organisations can put in place, but mostly, I think one of the most important things is to have a safe culture and ethos, whatever it is, if it's a school or it's a club, that the adults there have worked really hard to create a sense of safety and well-being for the children and young people who go there. Because when things feel safe and good, and when people generally are respectful, it makes it much more difficult for bullying to thrive, because it's kind of out of sync with everyone else. But there are a lot, so ethos, culture, setting out a really strong anti-bullying policy, which sets out the expectations for everyone. So young people, here's what we want you to do, here's what we expect. Parents, here's how you can support policy. Teachers, here's how you can help to implement it in the classroom and in school. So all of these preventative methods are helpful. I think, Ruri, do you want to say something?
Yeah. So the key main point is that you should create a safe space for everyone, so that the bullying stands out instead of just blending into the environment.
100%, very well put. Bullying, you know, it can feel like completely counterculture when everyone else is mostly adhering to respectful behaviour. And, you know, you walk into school and it feels good, it feels fun. You want to be there. It's a safe space. It's your space. You belong there. When people are bullying other people, that then just sticks out like a big red flag. And it makes it harder for that behaviour to continue, because they're absolutely not in step with everyone else, what everyone else wants. And that's where children and young people have much more power and influence than they know, because it's absolutely within your power to start to bring about change and to set out the culture that you want to see. School leaders are great at doing that, and your teachers will be really positive and model great relationships for you. But when you start to mirror that, and you start to greet each other respectfully and smile at each other and be pleasant and civil in your daily interactions, you can almost shift the culture. Mm-hmm. And if you can imagine what that would feel like, then that means you can also do it.
Mm-hmm. It's really powerful, isn't it? And, you know, one of my favourite quotations is, you have to be the change that you want to see in the world. And I think sometimes that means not going along with things, not laughing along when a joke's mean, and, you know, really.
So it's like bringing a light to a dark space, and that means that that the dark people are like shining out like a dull light.
It's like the exception.
They stick out to the staff, they stick out to the people that are in the building that can report.
Yes. And I think that's the situation that is the, you know, in terms of bullying, you want bullying to be the exception rather than the rule. It should stand out as not being normal. And Vivian, you've got a question as well.
Yeah, the last one, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
my mistake, Rudy, sorry, it's your question, number one.
How do you think schools should respond to bullying situations, as in what should happen to the person who's bullying someone else and the person being bullied?
I think for schools that is difficult, because in reality every situation is completely unique. You know, there's not an easy fix, because all the relationships that have brought about the bullying are quite complicated. So they merit that individual approach from schools to talk about, you know, what's happened to the person who's been bullied. And, you know, your question sort of implies a bit about, you know, and what about the person who's been doing the bullying, what should happen to them as well. So usually in schools, you know, they will look at the unique situation, offer support to both parties, because obviously the young person who's been bullied is feeling a bit broken. It's been a tough time for them and they need help and support to feel like themselves again. But also for the person who's bullying someone else, that's not really normal behaviour. It's not normal to want to destroy someone else or to make their day horrible. So usually there's something going on with that young person too, and they need to get some support to understand a bit more about what's lying behind their behaviour, how they can be helped to change that behaviour, and for the adults to know what else is going on. And that's not to excuse it. I need to be clear on that. It's not to excuse behaviour, but it's to help to understand why someone might be acting out a bit in school and trying to regain a bit of their own agency that they've maybe lost somewhere else.
Do you think schools should go on with harsh punishments or trying to like explain the situation and then like give some help, and if it continues, put in a harsher punishment or just go straight for the harshest punishment they can give?
I think what Respect Me is about helping young people to change their behaviour. And I don't know any situation where punishment does that. If punishment worked, the jails would be empty. So I think what you might be sort of hinting towards is consequences. And I think there should be consequences, absolutely. And I think it's always a good idea, actually, to ask the young person themselves what they think the consequences of their actions should be. You know, what do they think should happen here? And help to sort of lead the teacher and lead the adults to that conclusion. And I can also say that young people are much harsher on themselves, actually, than an adult might be when having that kind of conversation. But at a national level in Scotland, we are not encouraging a punishment culture. It's much more about restoring relationships where it's possible to do that. If it's friends that you've had and you want to get back into their group and you're having fun with them the way that you did before, then supported restorative conversations by a skilled teacher who can do that can be really, really helpful. Where there's really nothing much that you want to restore, if you don't know the person who's bullied you and they're just being mean to you and you don't want to be their friend, then, you know, I think respectful distance is a good way to approach that and just acknowledge that, you know what, we are not going to like everyone. In our very first campaign at Respect Me, we spoke about, you know, you don't have to like me, you don't have to agree with me, you don't have to play with me, but you do have to respect me. And I think for children and young people, that's a really healthy way to understand. You're never going to like anyone, and even as an adult, you're never going to like anyone or everyone. So sometimes it's good just to keep respectful distance. And just because you don't like something about somebody else, don't have to say so.
It's also like, if from like a personal experience, I think that helped is that I was put away from them. So I was just in my own bubble with my own friends, with my brother, and I just stayed away from the people that were doing it. Mm-hmm. And that really helped.
Yeah, just getting that distance.
Just staying away and being my own little bubble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Vivian, you have the last question for Lorraine.
Do you feel that things are getting better or worse in terms of bullying in Scotland? And what is your hope for the future?
Thanks, Vivian. And also just to pick up on Ruri's last point, I think moving away from people who cause you hurt and harm and moving towards people who light up your life, bring you joy, shine for you and let you shine are much more healthy ways to proceed. Is bullying getting better or worse? The truth is we don't actually know. The data in Scotland is a bit variable. Some schools and organisations and authorities are better at data collection than others. What we do know is, though, that in the most recent health and wellbeing census in Scotland, 100,000 children responded to that from 16 local authorities. And about a third of them, so that's 30,000 children in Scotland, said that they were being bullied. So we know we have a big scope and scale of problem to solve. It's complex, it's a really wicked problem. And if we could fix it, we would have done it by now. So better or worse, we don't know. And actually numbers are numbers. Data is important. It's good that data is gathered and it helps to inform policy and help people know where to place particular resources. But at the end of the day, behind every number is a person. And what really matters is how that person is met in school, how their needs are met, how they're supported, and how they're helped to recover from a bullying situation. My hope for the future is that I don't have a job. That would be my hope for the future, because that would mean that bullying had been stopped. There was no need for Respect Me and no need for a service. But I think we're quite a wee bit away from that. Bullying's been around for decades and it's a global issue. And whilst it's here, we are here to try and help.
Do you think that a wrongful data collection could be like that schools have had like a great shining for so many years and then there's just been an outbreak in bullying and they don't want to admit that that's happened at their school?
I think there's lots of reasons, really. I think, you know, that's a, you know, one way to look at it. I think schools do get concerned if there's a spike in bullying and it's recorded, but also increasingly, and I've been working with a lot of local authorities recently across Scotland who are saying, you know what, if someone's being bullied and they tell you they're being bullied, record it, put it into the data systems and use those data systems to help you to manage that case through. And if that means it's a spike, it doesn't mean it's a bad news story, just that bullying has gone up. What it can mean is, well, we've got more information on it now, we know where it's happening, we can attend to it, and we can resolve things faster for children and young people.
So yeah, that also means that schools shouldn't be like embarrassed or worried that they're getting bullying problems in their school and it's going really high when it was like really low for like a decade or something. So they shouldn't be worried about getting more help or being embarrassed from recording that spike.
They shouldn't be worried about the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. They should be worried if there's a noticeable shift in the school culture or something that has felt safe suddenly feels unsafe, and they maybe have to have a wee look at what might be causing that. You know, has something shifted? Has something changed within the school? But I think schools are much more confident now, many of them, in how they record bullying situations and how they deal with them. So they should never be feeling afraid. They need to hold their own story about those numbers and about the narrative around it. So if they perhaps had something like Listen Up, an anti-bullying campaign in the school that raises awareness and young people say, you know what, I feel empowered, I'm going to report this now. So yeah, the numbers will go up, but that's a good thing because young people are able to ask for help when they need it and get it.
I think that totally makes sense. And, you know, sometimes it might actually be more worrying if there are no recordings of bullying because maybe that means that people aren't talking
hiding,
about it.
Are they hiding it from the authorities because they're like, our school's perfect. It's just this tiny spike this couple of months. Why should we report it if we've had a perfect clean sheet?
And I think there's quite a few directors of education in local authorities who are saying exactly what you're saying, Rudy, that, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of in recording. It means that you're listening.
Bullying is bullying and you can't stop it, so what's the need to be embarrassed about reporting it?
And I'm always really interested in schools who come forward and say, you know, we have zero bullying incidents recorded. I'm thinking, you have 1,200 children in your school and they all got on really, really well and there's never a problem. That would be unusual. So I think there's also a challenge for schools if they've got either no bullying incidents recorded or very few to ask them what they're doing, because if they have created an absolute utopian
perfect
culture,
environment,
which is perfect, then we want to know about that and Respect Me, because then we can tell everyone else to copy them.
It's also weird because, like, even with a school like my school with barely 200 pupils, there's stuff going on every single day. How can schools with almost triple that have no incidences at all?
Exactly.
Exactly. I know. Probably if there were only two pupils, there would still be issues.
There'd be stuff every single day if there's only two pupils. But yeah, they have 10 times that, almost like 100 times that, and they're still saying, we've got a clean sheet, we've got nothing wrong with our school. How is that the case?
I see a future for you in data analytics and research and statistics. There's a really keen eye there for the numbers and what the numbers mean.
Getting to the truth, really.
Absolutely.
I know. Vivian, is there anything that you wanted to
No, but I just want to thank you today, Lauren, for the questions that we have to ask you, and we really appreciate this organization for Respect Me, because there does need to be a change, because numbers of people are bullied for different types of reasons, but this group could be the reason why bullying numbers decrease.
Declines. And it's also helped almost all of us have joined in the past month or year to get over it and try instead of think about it every day, put it behind and try and think of how we're going to stop this.
Yeah, and also for the people that are bullying, for them to be educated and understand the effect it has on the person they are bullying. So it's good that everybody's educated and understands what it means to bully someone.
Yeah, the impact.
Even if it's a 10-minute chat in like a PSE class, it still could make an entire school worth of difference, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's still a 10-minute chat could change hundreds of people.
Yeah.
I think what you have just said is really important to note though, Vivian, you know, about being together in a group and how much that helps.
Yeah.
Because when you're recovering from a bad experience, a hurtful experience, it's so helpful.
What I was thinking is that I've done a couple of weeks alone and it was really hard. It's good when you have a group like this, or even if you just have weekly check-ins with a teacher. It could make the world of difference, because that means you feel like you're getting stuff off your chest.
That connection.
And then that teacher can be like, okay, let's see how you feel next week. And it could even lead to where you're perfectly fine and you're still having weekly check-ins and everything's going great.
And what a nice weekly check-in that is, you know. You say, how's everything? Great.
Everything's great. Even if it's like a message to a friend, or like a message, like a 5-minute chat to a teacher, it says like, I'm fine.
Yes.
I'm fine this week. Everything's been okay.
Yeah. I think especially in this day and age, you know, when we live so much of our lives online and through technology, that human connection is very important.
A call or a text or an email even. If you can be at school the day you have a week, you can just say, I'm okay, just like feeling a bit ill. So you want them to know that you're not off because of the bullying, you're off because of something else.
I'm
really, really grateful to you for all of the questions today. It's a healthy reminder for me, and one of the when we started, you asked me what made me want to work with Respect Me, and although I didn't know it 15 years ago, but I learned it since then, is I hold a belief that myself and the whole team at Respect Me, when we get out of beds in the morning, we get out of beds to make the lives of children and young people better. That's our absolute purpose. Mm-hmm. That's what we set out to do. And amongst that, there's a whole load of other things, other tasks that need to be done that can take our eye off that ball sometimes. But overall, that is the purpose of our service, and that's what we hope to do. And we do have some evidence already that young people have had a much better experience as a consequence of our work and the work of schools across Scotland.
If there's more organisations like this in the world, do you think there could be a rapid decrease even in the numbers of bullying in schools or organisations like sports clubs?
I would love to see there is a bit of a global movement against bullying. It varies from country to country, and all countries have got kind of different cultures and different rules, and some have laws against bullying as well. We don't have a law, and bullying's not a crime in Scotland. But yeah, I think the more people who get on board and are actually actively, not just, you know, anti-bullying. It's not just they don't like bullying or they don't want to see bullying. You need to be anti-bullying in the same way as you would be anti-racist. You know, have to do something positive and not be passive about it. And I think the work that the Youth Action Group is wholly inspiring. That gives me much hope for the future.
I've got another question. Should all schools have, like, even if it's a brief anti-bullying policy, should they like install one that's like, if you're being bullied, report it. If you're being a bully, just stop it. Because like, if you're getting reported, there's no good in being reported. There's no good in getting in trouble for something that you can control yourself. It's your own choices that is making you be in trouble.
I think that's really interesting. I once had a manager in another job who was giving me some advice about work, because I tend to take on quite a lot of responsibility. And he said to me, you know, Lorraine, he says, sometimes it's better to return the problem to the people who created it. And it stuck with me. And I think what you've just said there, Rory, is so important. because young people are bullying each other and they're involved in that, and adults are trying to help and fix and support and sort, but actually giving power back to the young people, not for the adults to step back completely, obviously, you know, young people need adult help, but sometimes, you know, helping young people to understand, well, you're actually creating this problem, you're bullying each other, and I think that's the essence of what you've just said.
Because it's like you, no one else makes your choices. You make your own choices. Mm-hmm. So just like try and do that. If you're thinking, should I do this? Just think before you act. Mm-hmm. Think before you speak. Is this the right thing to do?
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good note to end on. Can I thank everyone for being here today? Lorraine, thank you so much for your time. Moody and Vivian, thank you so much for your questions for Lorraine.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, they've been really insightful. And thank you also for all of your hard work as part of our Youth Action Group. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us today in this first episode of our Listen Up, Respect Our Rights podcast.
And we're going to hand over to the young people to say the final words.
Thanks for listening. Just remember, listen up
and respect our rights.